Gentlemen, may I direct your attention to something quite extraordinary?
Chris, the Herons are back. And we got messy.
What's going on? What? Where is the information?
I guess we're getting ready for a sister kissing fiesta.
I felt like we were playing a 2-8. It was just a 2-8.
Let me tell you, Danny is about to get destroyed in the chat. So you
are we kissing sisters, Chris?
And maybe stepsisters, but not regular sisters. I've done a little bit of research on him. When it comes to FIFA, this guy's 68.
We're going to have the greatest player of all time on the team. If there's a time to believe, it's now.
It looks like a heron shat all over it. So you guys are literally getting excited for a rank 65 player on FIFA 23. We got some pretty good FIFA cards on our squad now.
You gotta understand, Kevintro. This is how we scout our players here on this show.
Just look at FIFA cards.
No question about it. I am ready to get hurt again.
I think we're gonna kill you guys. I do think that we are gonna win. I think that we're gonna win 3-1. 3-1. 3-1.
Chris, the Herons are back.
Welcome, everybody, to episode number 157 of the Battle Herons podcast. I am your host, Daniel Granada, and alongside me, as always, Mr. KBD, how are you doing, sir?
I mean, I predicted the right score for the second week in a row, for the second game in a row.
Well, did you predict the Nashville one correctly also?
Yes. Yes, I did. Wow. Yes, I did.
Good stuff. I don't go around talking every time I correct it. I don't go around showing off every time I get my shit right, but okay, that's cool. That's cool. All right. What happened to your flags?
They moved me to another cell, so sorry, guys.
All right. And shout out to 89J Stubbs, Gomez and Suarez. Wow, Redondo, Stud, Sheesh, we are flying. I'm feeling pretty good after that game. First game that we win without Messi since September 9th against KC. The game it started a little rough. Just because we have a hard time against that high press, right? That press, when they press our back line, we have a hard time. But it was so satisfying once we kind of settled into the game to see how well we were working out of that press. Because we found that soft spot right there, right behind the forwards. And I felt like Busquets and Redondo were doing a great job of being outlets. It was just so fun to watch the way that we were. I felt like we were playing against Inter Miami is what it kind of felt like, because I felt like every time we got on the ball, it was transitioned the other way. And that's kind of how I feel on the opposite side. I kind of feel like teams are always flying against us. So what are your overall thoughts before we get into the specifics, Chris, of today's game?
Well, a lot of people are mentioning the record thing. So I don't know if you have a chance to go ahead and get that situated, but
my apologies. Yes.
I am live from Taylor Twelman's head, Hammy. You're on it. You're on it. I'll tell you, look, right here we have Bao Bao Dang. He said, we play with 4-3-3 today. I don't know. It looked kind of weird. At least that's what was displayed. I was texting Danny. I was like, this kind of looks like a 4-5-1. Look, the beginning was pretty tough to watch. First 10 minutes was awful. Like, the defense was awful. The ball movement was awful. And Dennis, look, you and I both, my friend, you can't crap on Gomez anymore. I can't crap on Gomez anymore. Listen, Diego Gomez, ya tu sabes.
He's a stud.
He's been doing good. And let me tell you, I haven't taken anything again away from like his effort and stuff like that. Today he showed offensive prowessness like he's had in the last couple games. So I got to give him Gus. I'm going to talk about Gomez. Okay. Well, you don't worry about anything. We're going to talk a lot about Gomez today. Okay, for those of you Gomez lovers, you're going to get all the Gomez you're going to take.
We told you, Gomez is the engine that keeps this locomotive going. The balls that he wins in the midfield, like, you're like, oh, Gomez sucks. Gomez does things that don't show up on the stat sheet. The way he constantly wins balls in the midfield and pushes it forward with forward passes, or he takes the ball himself because he's aggressive offensively. Yeah, maybe he isn't it doesn't have the slightest of feet when it comes to maybe taking on a one-on-one defender, right? Like, he's more of a straight line kind of person, even though he nutmegs somebody pretty nicely towards the end of the game. But man, Gomez, the box-to-box midfielder that he is, I mean, he is one of our unsung heroes, I think, to this point. And even Chris can't deny that anymore.
Well, I mean, according to Kako, I took the flags down so I could build a shrine for Gomez. Don't worry, guys. That one's in construction. So,
yeah, hit him with a super slam so you can afford that. Exactly. All right. So here we go. So let's get started at the very beginning. The starting 11. Were you surprised when you saw that they went with a 4-4-3?
I wasn't surprised because I figured that they were going to do something like this since I didn't think any of the big guys were going to be starting. I'm actually surprised that Busquets started, but I don't know. I mean, we've been seeing Busquets start just about like every game. So
Jordi Alba actually, I'm actually surprised that Jordi Alba didn't start.
Well, I think Tata trusts Noah Allen enough to give him some time. So I think that with him, the case is he just believes more in Noah Allen, so he's willing to give him that position, I guess, when Jordi Alba doesn't want to start. So here, for those of you on audio, we have the starting 11 up. Looks a little different than usual. You have four in the back with Allen left back, Ruiz right back, Freire and Aviles filling out the back. So no Christoph starting. He's on the bench. Calendar in the sticks. And then you got Gomez, Busquets, and Redondo filling the midfield with Taylor playing left wing. Gressel playing right wing. I mean, this guy's all over the place now. And then Campana playing up top at the nine position. So,
well, we always said that Gressel, he is best when he's playing offensively or attacking down the right side. And that's a right wing position. Messi plays right wing. So we've always figured that Gressel will only play that position when Messi's out. And as you saw today, that's where he was. I think, well, let's start with Campana. I wanted to talk about Campana first. Last week, he scored a goal, but I told you, and I personally thought he still didn't have a good game. Yeah, he ended up with that goal, but I thought he had a very poor game. Today, I thought he had a great game. He had a great game. I thought that he was creating chances. He even had a couple of beautiful balls into the box where Gressel was unfortunately on the other end of them. And, you know, Gressel isn't necessarily the best finisher. But I thought that Campana had a really good game. He was making the appropriate runs when needed. Like last week, I thought that he wasn't doing that. When he saw space, he wouldn't run into it or attack it. Today, he was. I thought that Campana had a really solid game.
But now, all right, so as far as Campana, so you were happy with Campana then for the most part?
I was. Yes, today I was. Yeah. I was.
Well, and baby Erico, yes, I might consider getting a jersey. I don't know about Gomez. I mean, you guys are pressuring me. I might have to do it now. I might have to do it. I was going to get Taylor. But now you guys are pressuring me to get the Gomez jersey. I don't know. And Anton John is saying Campana was okay. I don't know about okay. I don't know about okay.
He had a very good game. Yeah, I get it. There was one cross where he went in with his foot. Maybe if he goes in with his head like he did last week, he maybe finishes it. Yes. But, you know, Campana is his Suarez. But Campana, I thought he had a great game. I thought his hold-up play was good. I overall, he had that assist. And I know we're not even going to go get ahead of ourselves, I guess. But he even had that assist for Suarez. So I thought Campana had a good game. I thought it's his best game so far, right?
I mean, both nines for us have been sort of very unselfish, and it's been panning out. And for a game that we don't have Messi starting or off the bench with, and you have your nines that unselfish and being able to, you know, or being willing to give up the goal to give it to the next guy who's available and open, I think that was great. I think it panned out well. Again, I mean, if we were to kind of go through the game by segments, first 10 minutes were awful. We get scored on. And then from there, you start to see a complete 180 on this team, a resurgence, if you will. And they start sort of playing a lot smarter. Players started making plays like Diego Gomez was just hustling for balls, getting turnovers. So that all boded well for us.
I think it goes to what they say in a lot of sports, right? When you're the road team and the other team is very aggressive, it's like weather the storm. And that's what it was, right? The first 10 to 20 minutes, it was weathering the storm. And they got a goal within those first 20 minutes, right? It was like the 12th, 13th minute. But you had to weather the storm. And they did, right? They took those punches. They took all those body shots in the first 20 minutes. And they had their strategies and they started counterpunching. And they started finding the space to work out of that press. And when they started working out of that press, it was vertical passes. And one thing that I loved about today, the switching the switching of fields, right? If they were up the left, they switched it over to the right whenever they saw, and there was always somebody open. Taylor constantly, Gressel, Busquets, and even David Ruiz was finding Taylor completely open on the left side, switched the play to the other side, constantly switching. And I thought they did that to perfection, the way that they were finding the open man no matter where they were on the pitch. I thought this was just a beautiful game overall on how they held possession and they worked their way out of pressure, because that's ultimately what it came down to, right? Their new coach, I forgot the guy's name, but he comes from the Red Bulls, spent the last two seasons with the Red Bulls. The Red Bulls are press, 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 90 minutes. And he brought that over to DC. And, I mean, I'm glad that I saw what I did today, because I was already worried about the Red Bulls game next week. But with what I saw today, it made me feel a little better, because if they can continue to hold possession and take care of the ball the way they did against that press, I mean, I think that we're in good shape, because I feel like that was our weakness. And if we can go ahead and keep building off of that, and it no longer, even if it's still technically a weakness, but they still go ahead and improve in that, we're going to be a very hard team to beat, Messi or not.
Well, the one thing that's the difference, look, and Hammy saying Cabana's hair wasn't aerodynamic enough. Yeah, he did something weird to it. It looks fluffier. I don't like it.
I don't like it.
He's going to have to lose. He's going to lose the Compapi label real quick. The one thing that I noticed was those crosses that were sort of changing the pace of the play. And that's where you can tell that's sort of maybe, I guess, the mentality or the strategy behind starting our offense when Messi's not on the field, right? Because, I mean, Messi is there. You could be able to feel comfortable enough to work it through the middle. But when they saw that they weren't getting anything on one side, instead of sort of rotating back to the other side, they said, no, let's just lob this mother over and then work it that way. And that was beautiful.
Well, and that's the thing. That's how you beat a team that plays with either a high line like we do or is constantly pressing. Because when you beat the press, you're at a disadvantage because you're vulnerable back behind that line. So that's the issue we've always had. We can't beat the press. But if we figure out how to beat the press, Robert Taylor, whenever he plays, is going to be transition. Diego Gomez, locomotive, transition. Like, we have players. Luis Suarez, even though Luis Suarez limps when he walks, he doesn't limp when he runs. He'll take off. Like, my father went to the game, the Montreal game, right? Because I couldn't go because I was sick. So he went in my place, first time he gets to see Luis Suarez. And the first thing he told me when he came back, he's like, Luis Suarez, I don't know why everybody criticizes his walking, because when he runs, he looks like a gazelle out there, because he runs. Now, when he walks, it looks painful. But when he runs, he's taking off. So I thought that was interesting. And look, if we could start beating the press and playing those long balls to Robert Taylor or whoever's up top, like I said, we're going to be hard to beat.
Well, and Tony Axe is mentioning here in the chat, it's no longer just Messi. Now, I don't want to get too ahead of everything, because Messi is the greatest player of all time. But this was a game, honestly, that people can look at and say, Inter Miami, in my opinion, played the best I've ever seen in this game without Messi. And if they follow this sort of, I mean, maybe it's not going to work for every team, but if they follow this sort of strategy or game plan without Messi, then I think we're going to start feeling a lot more comfortable in games where Messi isn't going to suit up.
Well, one quick thing, and let me be very careful when I say this, because I know how our Messi-loving viewers are. I want to be very careful when I say this. Messi,
let's go, Tariq.
Without Messi, I still think we are a playoff team. I still think we are a good team. With Messi, I think we could win everything that we are a part of. Without Messi, I still think this is a good team. And I've said it before, even without Messi, this is a good team. We have Luis Suarez. We have Jordi Alba. We have Busquets. We have Robert Taylor. We have Drake back there. And let me make sure that this doesn't go without saying. We're constantly criticizing the set pieces on this team. We gave up, I want to say it was 8 corner kicks that they had. They had 8 corner kicks. We didn't surrender one goal on a set piece. And that's with Benteke or whatever this guy's name is, which is by far the best header in the league. And we didn't give up one set piece goal, on top of the fact that we just got a clean sheet, period. But that can't go without saying either, because that's a pretty big deal. Because we're saying our weakness, our two weaknesses were tested today. Set pieces and beating the press. And we did both of those convincingly. And my fault, it wasn't a clean sheet. They did score one. But, I mean, all in all, I thought that we had to overcome our two weaknesses, and we did it well. So, look, I couldn't be more happy with today's victory.
Well, it was a great victory. It was great gameplay without Messi. And I think you tiptoed well enough through that, Danny. So I'm going to give you a lot of credit for that. And Tariq is chiming in here with a super bomb. Working right now. Can't wait to watch this later. Catch this later. Much love and respect to everyone here. Talk
Shout
to
out
y'all
Tariq.
Soon.
We appreciate you.
Yeah, man. Much appreciated. I really think that at the end of the day, I think that we did well on all sides. And Sergei Kristoff came on, and he looked better than what a lot of people usually expect him to look.
Yes. Kristoff had a good game.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't say it's our strength, but I do think that it's no longer our glaring weakness. But again, we're going to get it tested out again next week. We're going to get it out tested out again next week because we play against the Red Bulls. And the Red Bulls press way more often than Washington does. And they do it much better because it's literally their MO for the last decade. So we had a little taste with DC, right? A little taste today, but we're going to get it hardcore next week. And Tank, I agree. 4-3-3 over 5-3-2.
But this wasn't really a 4-3-3, was it?
I thought it was.
Was it?
I thought Taylor was hanging out on the left wing. Gressel was on the right, and Campana was right up the middle.
Okay. I mean, I get it. And I can't listen. If you're not screaming with a client when Suarez scores the second goal, then you're doing your job wrong.
Well, before we get onto the goals, let's talk about the DC goal. What did you think about the DC goal?
So with the DC goal, what was it? I believe it was a header, no? Was it a header that was the DC goal?
It was the bombazo from the right side to the back of the left post.
Oh, that's right. Yes, there was other people mentioning in the chat that it was Noah Allen's fault. But the thing is, Noah Allen, like when I looked at the replay of the play, Noah Allen was kind of waiting on the side for that winger to come up.
Right. I thought that was more on Freire than on Noah Allen.
Yes, absolutely. I think it was on Freire more than it was on Allen because you had Allen waiting on the side for the winger to approach. He's not going to give that up to just cover some guy in the middle. So I believe that Freire was the one that was at fault for that goal and not Noah Allen. Now, Noah Allen did press up shortly before that, but he was able to sort of recover back to his position. So I think that Freire was the one that messed up on that. And to be honest, Freire, I think if there's anybody that had, I guess, the poorest game, it would have been him. And he got out of the game early. So, you can't really grade too much of it. But he was probably the one that had the poorest performance, in my opinion.
All right, well, one of the reasons that we were down on Freire was not just because we heard that he wasn't good distributing the ball, which was the biggest reason I was down on him. And we didn't get right. Remember, we said that the first 20 minutes they weathered the storm and they got kind of got going. Do you think it was a coincidence? And I'm a serious question. I'm not being facetious or sarcastic. Do you think it was a coincidence that we finally started beating the press a lot better once Kristoff came on and Freire came off?
I don't think it's a coincidence because if there's one thing that we do know, that's the difference between Freire and Kristoff. Is that Kristoff is a lot more patient on the ball than Freire is. So that's the one thing that I take away. And if you, as a center back, feel more comfortable with the ball at your feet, then I think it's just going to be easier for the team to be able to work with instead of having Freire, which, I mean, like I said, Freire, to me, played the poorest before he even got injured. If he would have kept playing, I probably would have said that he played the poorest throughout the whole game.
And I was wrong. I thought he came off in the 22nd minute. He came off in the 30th minute. So we had already scored by then. But I felt like, again, whether it be Freire or not, that's when we really started getting into the game. I don't want to kill Freire too much. What I do dislike is the fact that he got injured again. And that was one of the things that people told us that we asked about him, right? Whether it be the Pumas with Sebas Crackball or the guy that we talked to from the Olympicos, his last team he played in, they constantly told us, not good on the ball, and constantly injured, right? And from what I saw, he was holding his hamstring. And if it's your hamstring, I'm sorry. I've watched sports long enough to know that those hamstring injuries, unless you really like take like 2 to 3 months off for it to fully recover, it's just going to be a lingering injury, which really sucks. So,
and I want to bring this up real quick. This comment, Matt McCall is saying hello from West Virginia. Shout out to you. He said he was when he was first getting into football, listening to us. Got him into Inter Miami during the Neville era. So good stuff, Matthew. Thank you for the shout out, brother.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah, thank you.
Much appreciated. I had to mention it because it was Phil Neville era, you know. Phil Neville, I think at this point, is still undefeated, just in case.
Who cares?
And Dennis Lopez is agreeing with us. He was the worst man of the match. Man of the match. So no way. Mike V is saying he's going to be out 4 to 6. I mean, look, if the good thing is we do have Kristoff. I mean, we have Saylor, and we have Ian Frey.
Oh, I know. I can't wait. Hopefully he comes back soon.
I can't wait. What?
Look. All right. Kristoff, I thought he had a good game. Do you think he had a good game? He is slow, but today he played well. We weren't able to play with a high line today because DC United was constantly pressing us. They didn't give us a chance. So we weren't caught on the transition consistently because we didn't have a chance to play with that high line very often. So I thought that was a good game for Kristoff, a perfect chance for him because he didn't have to be worry about getting the ball back in transition or getting back into position in transition. Yeah. So I thought that Kristoff had a good game. And Aviles got away with a little push in the back when Betenke had a chance at a header. Let's keep going, and then we'll get into those calls that were, I'm sure, DC United podcasts and stuff that are going right now are bitching about.
And I want to bring up this comment here by Tank, because Tank, you're out of your fucking mind. Freire is a brick wall. We've seen him play like 5.5 games, dude. This guy's a brick wall to you.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a brick wall, but I'm not gonna keep questioning him because I thought he had a good game against Nashville.
Yeah, I mean it's listen, I don't know, man. I thought that he was okay. He wasn't that great. I think that Kristoff is just – it feels more comfortable with him back there. He's not the greatest. And I am a brick wall.
Chris is a brick wall back there. And Chris started playing soccer. He's going to play soccer again tomorrow. Chris is I call him Kamal Miller out there.
Yes, so. I am a good defender because I suck at playing soccer. So I just run and kick stuff. That's it.
Shout out to Italia.
Some people at the same time. Yeah.
All right. So go ahead, Chris, with the goal, or our first goal.
So, I mean, with our first goal, that was the, if I'm not mistaken, the Campana goal.
Correct.
Right? It was the Campana goal. And the person that made that play happen was Al Redondo. So everybody that's in the chat right now, that's talking about Redondo, you guys get flowers too, because Redondo played his ass off.
Redondo had a great game.
He had a phenomenal game. And in that same play, he fell on the floor twice, still kept the ball and progressed it. And he left the ball there perfectly for Campana. And I said, that's his left side. This is going in right here. The moment I saw it was on his left side, I said, it's a wrap. This is going to be a goal. And trap time.
Right before then, Robert Taylor was on the ball, and then he almost tripped over the ball. He recovered, and then he sent in a beautiful cross into the box. Campana hit it to the back post, and then the goalie made a great save. But I thought that's when I was like, okay, Campana's on his stuff today. The goalie made a great save, got the ball out, Redondo recovered it, and that's when that whole mess happened. But I felt like that was a hustle goal, because it felt like Inter Miami was hustling all the way through for that game. And you want some of those gritty hustle games, right? Because up until that point, you still felt like DC was in command. But they scrapped out that goal. And once we got that goal, I felt like that's when Inter Miami kind of settled in. And that's when we started playing better and keeping possession. I really enjoyed watching that goal just because it felt like a gritty goal.
Yeah, it did. And it came out of straight hustle. It came out of like Ghana, right? And that's a Spanish word, like the want, the need, right? And Alex, you're on it, buddy. 325 viewers, guys. You only 75 likes. Smash that like button, guys. Come on. Somebody asked me for my background. I am Cuban. Cuban American, so that is my background. That is why I suck in soccer. But it is what it is. And I'll say Gomez's name, Diego Gomez. He played well. He played well. Played well.
You still want to get him off the team?
No, I don't. I didn't say I want him off the team.
I can literally go back and find the moments. I could find it, especially in the Spanish show. If you guys haven't watched Battle Heron en Español, because Chris's Spanish isn't the best, he just curses a lot. So you can just hear the way he curses out Diego Gomez.
Yeah, because he deserved it at the time.
He didn't. He had done nothing wrong.
Yeah. Yes. Well, Asif Mahmoud is saying, our three midfielders are killers.
Diego Gomez, now that you're finally admitting it, great box-to-box midfielder. Redondo, great box-to-box midfielder. And Busquets is Busquets. Our midfield is lethal. We literally have two Busquets playing out there. We have an older veteran Busquets, and we have like the younger version that still needs a little polishing, but he's getting there. Like, our midfield is effing beautiful, man. I love our midfield. We have, if we could just keep that 4-3-3 with Robert Taylor, Suarez, and Messi up top, then with that midfield, I'm sorry, but this team is hitting like crack in the 80s.
Well, listen, these guys are all calling me out, Danny. Mike V is telling me that I said that Gomez es una bolsa de pingas.
I don't remember if that's exactly the verbiage, but I wouldn't doubt it because he has been killing.
But you know what? Again, he's been impressing me, and Bambino is way looking in the future. Imagine with Neymar.
If Neymar were to come, were to come,
I don't Luis think he's gonna
come. I do think he's gonna come. I'd put money that he's coming, but I think that'll be when Luis Suarez is already gone, and if we're lucky, we might get 1 year of Neymar and Messi if we're lucky. But he isn't coming anytime soon. That would be sexy.
Yeah, that would be sexy. All right, so we wrapped up the second goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
now we move over to the third goal.
Well, so let's tell me what at the half. What did you think?
Uh huh. Well, at the half, I said
it's 1-1.
Yeah, at the half, I said this is game over, because if Suarez and Alba come on, it's going to be game over. Like, I mean, it can only get better after that. No, if we tied. I have a question for you, mm-hmm. and the chat, maybe you guys can answer this too. Do you guys on away games where Messi doesn't play, are you guys happy with the tie? Would you be happy if I told you every game that we play away where Messi doesn't play, it's a guaranteed tie? Would you be happy with that?
Would you be happy with the possibility of a win?
It's a guaranteed tie every time. No win.
No, because you want to win, get 3 points. But I do think that most people are happy with a result on the road. On the road, you want to come off with some points, right? Now, to say that it's a guaranteed tie always, absolutely not, because we could win, right? Like, you could lose, but you could win. So I don't want to go in and sign off like, okay, we'll get 1 point each time, because you could still win. But a point is still a positive result, especially if you play against a good team. Like today, for example, I thought it wouldn't be a draw. Even at halftime, I thought that this would eventually end up 2-2. I thought it would be a draw, but I would have been okay with it because of the way that DC plays and what was our weakness going into this game. I thought us trying to beat that aggressive press, you know what? Yeah. I'm happy if we can get a 1-1 draw on the road. But, I mean, getting that win and then seeing the way we played against that press, man, I am so happy. But, yes, at halftime, I thought this was still going to be a draw.
Well, at halftime, again, I thought to myself, Suarez hasn't gotten on the field. Jordi hasn't gotten on the field. This game is over. We're winning this. We're winning it. No? I mean, that's how you feel when you have those guys off the bench.
No, I do think that it's a luxury to have those type of players off the bench. And I also wasn't expecting Suarez to come in at, the 60th minute? He came on at the 62nd minute. So I was not expecting to see him that early on. But with that said, it is quite the luxury.
Well, starting the second half, again, it was a little funky for the first couple minutes. But after the first couple minutes is when we started to see, again, the team was moving a little bit smoother. Their passing was crisp, and they were connecting a lot better. And then we get over to our second goal, which, what did you think about the second goal that happened in the game for us?
The Luis Suarez. That wasn't that was the one okay, so I guess we'll talk about what happened before that, right? Because right before that is when we had that controversial call or no call on the Aviles that they said that the ball didn't hit his hand or that it wasn't a penalty for it hitting his hand. We got on transition, and then was it Redondo laid the ball off to Campana? Campana with a low cross to Suarez, and Suarez kind of like fell down and kicked it at the same time, scored that goal. It was a nice cross by Campana. It was a beautiful buildup by Redondo and a beautiful finish by Suarez. So all in all, it was great. But I think the biggest talking point on that goal is the no call leading up to it. What did you think about the no call?
Well, the whole idea of handball is if you make your body bigger than what it, I guess, naturally is. And let's just say, hypothetically speaking, that it was a handball or it touched his hand, right? But he didn't make his body bigger. It was what? It was on the fall, no? There was a deflection that was made and then it hit his hand. So even if they would have gone on a, like an extensive review and looked at that, it wouldn't have been called for a handball, do you think?
Well, they did review it. They went to
VAR. Yeah, but when they went to VAR, and then you heard the commentators are like, oh well, you know, if they were to review this, especially because of the goal, they haven't called the goal. They called the goal. They left the goal on, and they were like thinking about reviewing it again. Like even if you were to sit there 5 minutes with a coffee and bag of chips in your hand, you're still not gonna find it where he extended his body or made his body bigger than what it naturally is. So. I didn't think it was a handball. I mean, it touched his hand, yes, at least from the camera angle that they kept showing at the end. But the idea is, did you make your body bigger to be able to like impede or stop the play?
I thought that I was okay with either way. I mean, obviously I didn't want them to call it, but if they would have called it, I would have been okay with it because I did think that it affected the path of the ball. I did. Yeah, I don't know.
Wasn't it a deflection?
It hit off his leg on the way up, and then it hit his hand. If they would have called it a handball, I would have understood.
Food lover, you're freaking delusional, bro. Suarez's goal was offsides. Are you blind? You know what?
Food lover's a troll. Don't worry.
You're just a troll, bro. I'm gonna get $5 that send you a pair of glasses.
He's been here before. He just likes to troll. So I would have been okay with it either way because I am 100% sure if that happens the other way around, Inter Miami fans would have been upset that it didn't get called because it did stop the natural direction of the ball. His hand, although I understand natural position because it was on his way down, it still hit it on the way up and it stopped the ball from going where it was going to go. So I would have understood, but I also understand that he was on his way down. He was dropping down and you know, there's nothing he could do about it. So I was okay with both, honestly. I was okay with either one. I was honestly surprised. I was actually surprised.
I'm just saying that if he's coming down to the ground, right, and you're going to brace yourself by putting your hand down on the ground or whatever.
He wasn't bracing himself. No.
Well, but he wasn't extending his hand to block the ball either. Like,
oh, yeah, but it doesn't matter. If I'm in the area and I go like this, literally turning like this, but my hand is out here. Although I had no intention, if it hits my hand, it's a handball.
But was he really like extending himself? His arm wasn't extended from like his freaking protruding body.
I could see both ways. I could see why somebody would say it's not a penalty because again, like you are saying, he didn't make himself bigger on purpose. He might have been bracing his fall. But I'm gonna I understand both ways.
I want to pull the video up now. I gotta see if I can pull the video up because like so then rant on a little bit about other stuff. All right. So that way I can try to find this damn video.
Well, again, I still think that's going to be horrible quality, whatever you pull up. I still think that it could have been called a handball. But if it wasn't, again, I still understand because it didn't stop it. And you know what? I think, and this is just me spitballing here, I honestly think, all right, food lover, have a good one. I honestly believe that if there isn't a goal right after, that they call it a penalty. That's what I think. I think that because it was going to affect the game so much, it was going to take a goal away from Inter Miami and possibly give one right to DC. That was too big of a call for a questionable handball. So I think that that's what it was. I think that that's why it didn't get called, because that would have changed. Because the handball itself is questionable, right? You could argue both ways. But with a questionable call, changing the game that drastically to go from 2-1 to 1-2 and the other way, I think that that is probably why it didn't get called, honestly.
I just don't understand how we can come. Like, I mean, look, refereeing is supposed to be like called black and white, no matter what the results are of the following moment or the following play.
Right. But right? It's an iffy call. Look, I'm arguing it one way. You're arguing it another way. Are you really going to change the outcome of the game on something that can be argued two ways? I think that that's why it wasn't called. And again, that's just my opinion. I think if Suarez doesn't get that goal on the other end right after, I think that it's possible that they called it a penalty kick.
Yeah, I can't find it. I'm not going to spend the rest of the show looking for it. We'll post it up later and see what you guys think. But I don't think it was a handball.
Fans are going to think.
I mean, look, but even if you were to look at it objectively, right? It's he wasn't extending his hand. It wasn't like this like movement where like his arm was like all the way out here. It wasn't something that he was like using as a tool. So Dennis Lopez called it perfectly right. He is a double agent. This guy is literally, he's not from New York either. He's from Washington, D.C.
Let me tell you something. I will tell you one thing. I think D.C. has the best kits of the year with the cherry blossoms. I love that kit. If I was from D.C., I'd get like three of those.
We're going to talk a little bit about Ruiz too, because I think that having Ruiz at right back is fucking secret sauce.
Okay. Now, before we do, we talked about that. One thing that had already happened before this questionable call or no call that I'm sure is going to be another talking point, the Busquets pulling on the shirt on a corner kick. Mm. It was also not called a penalty.
That's grimy.
Do you think that that one was a penalty kick?
That
should
grimy.
Have been called a penalty.
That's grimy play right there. That's that grimy shit. Like that's that real like veteran thought process of playing soccer where you're like, I'm going to use these little tricks of the trade to like slow the player down. He legit didn't just like pull on the jersey. He like tugged at it. You could see that his body was going one way and his shirt was just being hauled the other way. So that was a little grimy. Yep. Dennis is on it too. That one was a little iffy. That one I would have given the car. That one I would have given the penalty too. That one for sure should have gotten the penalty.
So yeah, that one I wouldn't have given the penalty to. I feel like there's jersey pulling every corner kick and grabbing. And I feel like it's kind of like in football, American football, where everybody's like, you could literally call a holding play, a holding penalty every play. I feel like that's similar. that's similar to any set piece. And the set pieces, I feel like everybody's pulling and tugging. So I don't know. Yeah, I have given one on that one. I think the hand one was more egregious.
Really? You would have given it on the hand, but not the jersey tug?
Yeah, the jersey like tug looked more.
But that was like, he literally like was pulling him, hauling his body. I mean, I think, and Mike V is asking if you got aguardiente in the bottles back there. I think they're vodka.
No, because, yeah, those are vodka. Because if it was aguardiente, it'd be empty. Those are still full.
Yeah, but vodka is even better than aguardiente. Like, who the hell drinks that?
I just like them because like
these gasoline.
These are decorative bottles. These are Absolut, and not that they go ahead and sponsor us, but these are Absolut Miami.
I'll take a sponsor.
I got another Absolut Brooklyn up here, so whenever it's a cool bottle, I buy it. Absolut does a lot of like custom themed bottles, so.
Yeah, I think the guy I'm doing the show with, Esteban, is a hologram. So I don't know if the real Danny's here with me, but apparently he's underneath that pink shirt. He is wearing a DC United kit.
Shout out to Chicago for keeping us on top of the table. Yeah, I heard that they beat Montreal last minute. And Soccer Daddy, appreciate that. If you ever want anything, everything that I wear is on batteredfans.com. You can go ahead and get any of that.
Ah, that's what I should have worn today. Yes. And somebody had mentioned something about vodka, guys, and the best vodka is by far Ciroc. Ciroc like is Grey the Goose. Best vodka you can ever find. So, I mean, look, you're calling a penalty on one thing that everybody is agreeing is not a penalty, and then you're also letting something go that looks more penalizing than the one that you're going to call a penalty.
Mm-hmm. So okay. I'm a unique individual, I guess.
And
look,
and
everybody, the only thing that matters is that neither one got called, so we should be happy about that.
Everybody's asking us to talk about this. I figured we would talk about this on Monday, no?
Yes, that's what I was going to say. We're going to have a show on Monday, and Monday there's literally no game on Wednesday, so we're not previewing anything. So we got to leave some talking points for Monday. So yes, 100%, we will be covering him and a bunch of other stuff on Monday. Today we're just covering
the DC game. Take me off camera for a second.
So we apologize. Yeah, I'm going. Jesus. So we apologize if you wanted to hear about him. We will talk about him, but we're going to talk about him on Monday when we come for our 9 o'clock show on Monday. All right. So at that point, we were 2-1. And whether you agree with me about the penalties or not, I think that everybody in here, just about everybody, I don't think there's any DC United fans in here. We're all happy that nothing got called. So nothing got called. We're still up 2-1. And then we started showing some domination while Chris jumps back in here. I don't know what I'm sure he brought some type of prop. Yeah, Chris, go ahead. You can take over now.
I just wanted to show the liquor bottles that I got. I mean, I don't have fancy Miami Brooklyn stuff, but I got Ciroc because Ciroc is way. I mean, this episode seems like we're just pitching like alcohol to you guys. Like, Danny and I are not big alcohol drinkers or anything like that.
I'm not a big drinker.
I mean, I'll drink.
Yeah, Chris definitely drinks more than I do. I don't drink very often. Yeah.
But this is
when I do, I prefer the guaro.
Nah, Tito's, fuck Tito's.
All right, Chris, we're up 2-1. And you can
keep rolling. So we're up 2-1, right? And what? So we're up 2-1. And out of the 2-1, right, we get into the third goal, which was a beauty, right? And that's when I got the most excited because I finally hit my prediction. So, Joe, I'll meet you up, but don't bring me anything, okay? I don't need anything for the wall. I'm going to buy stuff, guys. I'm going to buy stuff. So don't worry, guys. I'm going to buy stuff. This whole thing's going to get filled. It's going to look very nice at some point. So the what's going on, Heartbreaker? The third goal that we had, what was it? It was like
was Diego minutes. Gomez. Diego put some respect on his name, Gomez, that won the ball, started the break, went ahead and cut the ball back, hit Luis Suarez. Luis Suarez didn't find an angle, so he cut it back. Brought it back to almost the top of the box and then did like a little flick. He tried to chip the keeper. Keeper got a hand on it and it still bounced in. It was a thing of beauty. We are the best team in the MLS. And go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry. I got excited because we were talking about Diego Gomez.
Yeah. I mean, look, it was pure hustle by Diego Gomez. Again, this is where Dennis and I give our flowers to Diego Gomez. Okay. My Diego Gomez battered brethren here. Again, yes. But you know what the difference, though, Mr. Krabs? You're saying that Gomez is to me what Drake is to Tank. The difference is that, look, if Gomez plays good, if players play good, I'm going to tell you straight up. He played good. And Gomez is something I've been asking for him to be better on the offensive side. That's all I want. I think that he's phenomenal on defense. I think that he's a great hustler.
I love that everybody's coming at you. I love it.
I just wanted him to be able to play better on offense. And guess what? We're getting a lot better play out of him on offense. So if this is what it had to take, I mean, hopefully Gomez was listening to my Spanish shows. You know, I'm hoping
for sure.
For sure he would understand him. I just say a couple words and throw a binga in there, and he knows I'm pretty pissed off. So, I mean, everybody's drilling me for this Gomez. Again, you know what, guys? If you guys want me to get a Gomez kit, I'm going to get a freaking Gomez kit, okay? I'll go get a damn Gomez kit. And I just wanted to see him do something offensively. If you're going to throw him in the midfield or in the wings, do something offensively. Go ahead.
Shout out to Tony. He's having breakfast over there in Brisbane, Australia. Right. So shout out to you. Leondo becoming my favorite after, of course, Messi. Now I'm going to bed. All right. Well,
Leondo's good, man.
Yeah, man. He is going to be a baller. And
don't make fun of me, Lucho.
Look at that. And Antojón, for Chris's Gomez shirt, he got you two. You're $2 closest to your Gomez kit. Oh, man. You know, look, I'm not even.
And I'm gonna say sorry to Gomez Soccer Daddy. When I see him in person and I wave at him.
No, this is what we're gonna do. When we first started this show back in 2022, I was Higuain's number one hater. Chris liked him for whatever reason. I hated him. Boss. I couldn't stand the guy. And then he just randomly went on that tear in the second half of the year. And I started to apologize. And I said, I'm sorry, Higuain. It was literally the first shirt in BatterFans.com. The first shirt that ever went on sale. And it said, I'm sorry, Higuain. And I wore it to the game. We're going to have to make you a shirt, Chris. I'm sorry. Do we say Diego Gomez or just I'm sorry, Gomez? Or I'm sorry, Dieguito.
No, you know what we should do? We should do I'm sorry and then put Go Diego Go under it and then put Gomez under that. Is that like copyright? Will we get hit like by copyright by Dora the Explorer?
Yeah, possibly.
Will Nickelodeon come after us, Nick Jr.?
Very possibly.
Yeah.
And yes, Tank, I'm not sure what this has to do with anything, but yes, I am a Real Madrid fan.
You know, anybody that knows that.
I guess because I say, because I was hating on Higuain. I hated Higuain always. While he was with Madrid, he was the first one out there to celebrate the goals that other people scored. I hated Higuain always. I've never liked him. And then he had a nice, solid half a year. So,
well, Asif Mahmoud is saying the same thing. He's going to hate him until he dies. So,
no, I apologize. And I thought that he finally came around, but I couldn't stand him when he first got here. I was upset when he was our first big name signing.
Maybe I should just buy a Go Diego Go shirt. You think that they sell a men's Go Diego Go shirt?
I'm going to go ahead and check to see if Nickelodeon has it copyrighted. If it doesn't have it copyrighted, I'll make the shirt.
I will love Gomez now. Dwanked, I promise.
There we go.
I mean,
all right, Chris. Go ahead. So that was the third goal. Mm-hmm.
That was the third goal, and the chip was just beautiful. Like, that's beautiful. The kind of quality that you see from these players. Just, I mean, look, that's Taylor Twellman is right on a couple things. And the one thing that he's right on is basically saying that these guys are full of quality, and Luis Suarez to be able to stop play and recognize where the goalie is situated to try to chip it right over him. And how bad do you feel for the goalie the moment he sees it kind of bounce right in, and it's already in the back of the goal,
and he still stands up and try to get it out
shamefully, yeah, and scoops it out of there. Like, dude, yeah, it's already in, bro. Just let it live. Let it be in peace into the back of the net. You're that butthurt that you got chipped, my guy. I'm going to mention something whenever you're looking. Hold on. Mr. Krabs is just saying something very ridiculous here. I think Diego from Go Diego Go is Colombian. That's not possible, Mr. Krabs. Diego is Dora's cousin, and Dora is Mexican. I mean, maybe. Maybe like the other parent is like Colombian. No way, dude. I have to look. I have to fact check that.
While we fact check that real quick, I was looking up Suarez. And correct me if I'm wrong, chat, because I tried to look it up quickly, but because it's two different tournaments, I didn't get a chance to fully look it up. But I believe that at the moment, Luis Suarez has 6 goals, 3 assists on the season. Now,
that's freaking phenomenal.
2 games into the season, people were dying to get Luis Suarez out. 2 games into the season. We are literally like 4 or 5 games in later, right? Has it been 4 or 5 games yet? Let's see. We're at 5 games. So that was 3 games. So 5 games later. Oh, 5 assists. Thank you. So is it 6 goals and 5 assists? Jesus. So could you imagine the fact that people were wanting Luis Suarez out and 5 games later, those are his stats? He's been our MVP so far this year. Dora is from Peru. I think so. I think Dora is from Peru.
Everywhere I look, it's just Latino.
No, they don't give her an actual country of origin.
But you see, people are saying he's Mexican too. And everybody is saying, a lot of people now are saying they love Suarez, right? Joker is asking us to bring Solana on for the Suarez hate.
You gotta tune in at 10 o'clock on Mondays. I don't know. Ooh. If I would. That's a rough statement. But if you're talking just the fact that he's been the MVP so far this season, I agree. Luis Suarez has been the MVP so far this season. Messi came off against Nashville, and we're like, uh-oh, we're in trouble. Luis Suarez comes in, gets that beautiful assist to Robert Taylor. Messi doesn't play today, and Luis Suarez scores a brace. Luis Suarez has been our MVP thus far this season. And that's not a shot at Messi. That's just the fact that Luis Suarez has done a lot more so far this season than Messi has for us.
I just want everybody to know that, and Florida Man is mentioning Swiper is Cuban, though. I just want everybody to know that one of my favorite animals are foxes. So, like, if he's Cuban, I'd take that. Like, this from Zootopia, the fox is, like, my favorite freaking character. I have to get a plushie for him, for sure. I mean, I know. I just threw us off to the side, but... Listen, Diego Gomez has been phenomenal. So I love Diego. I mean, Diego Gomez.
We stopped talking about Diego Gomez like 10 minutes ago. Oh, okay. We stopped talking about Diego Gomez like 10 minutes ago.
Yes, Diego Gomez. Because I just saw somebody say to respect Gomez. It's like every 5 comments now, everybody's asking me to respect
Gomez. You guys have to understand. You have to realize. You guys distract Chris so much with the chat.
Anyway.
All right, so who haven't we talked about so far? Gomez, Redondo, great games. Busquets, good game. Taylor, I thought Robert Taylor looked good today also. Campana, good game. Gressel, he was okay. So back line, we said Freire could have done better. Christoph had a good game. Aviles had a solid game. I think so. Let's talk about Drake, good game. Allen and Reese, those are the last 2 players we have to talk about. What did you think about Noah Allen? And then we'll end it with David Reese.
Well, with Noah Allen, I thought that he played pretty solid, especially... Look, whenever you're filling in for Jordi Alba, I'll take you playing pretty decently because, I mean, you're not going to be able to be exactly what Jordi Alba offers to this team. But if you're being able to push when you need to push and come back on defense when you need to discuss, you know, do defense, then I think that you're doing a good thing. You know, you're pretty decent. So... I thought Noah Allen played well, and I didn't see anything negative on him, to be honest.
Shout out to my son in the chat. It's not easy beating the press. And Noah Allen, I thought, did a good job playing the ball in, distributing the ball well, and working up the touchline whenever he had the ball and he had a space. So I thought Noah Allen had a solid game. And then David Ruiz. Right back is our weakness. We signed this new kid. His last name is so complicated. I can't wait to hear how you properly pronounce it. But we got this new kid for right back. But I thought David Reese is going to be similar to Robert Taylor, where their skill set allows us to play them in many different places. And that is going to be a huge benefit to us because we're going to be using such heavy rotation throughout the season, whether it be because of our Champions Cup games, whether it be because of international duty, even though I think Robert Taylor and David Reese will be getting called up also. But I thought that David Reese had a good game. I thought that whenever he is up in the attack, he does a great job of taking players up one-on-one. He's not scared to do so defensively. I thought he looked better than he usually does. I mean, all in all, I think it was a solid game from both fullbacks.
Well, and Asif Mahmoud is saying Ruiz is our ultimate utility player. The good thing about this team is that we have a couple utility players. We're just learning that Ruiz is a pretty good utility player. Gressel, I mean, looks like he's a utility player. Taylor is the same thing. Taylor can play everything plus goalie, right? I mean, we got a lot of guys that we can be able to kind of put in any sort of position. And how bad do you think Ben Krem feels about everything that's going on? Because look, Trukutu is mentioning Chris Danny, how are we gonna fit in Cremita? That's a good question. And Ben Crap must be like punching himself in the face because like all his boys are getting really good playing time.
I think Cremaki is gonna get his shine when Copa America starts and stuff like that, because he's not gonna get called up because of his injury, I think. So I think there's gonna be a lot of players that get called up. And I did want to ask Tony, saying Suarez is the MVP this year is like saying Haaland is the MVP because he scores. Haaland from Man City, he's talking about, is the MVP because he scores goals, forgetting about De Bruyne, Alvarez, or Rodri that did all the work. So, Tony, I ask you, who would be your MVP then? Because I thought Luis Suarez, they literally just said in the chat, in the last 5 games, he has 5 assists. He's creating for other people, whether it be with his runs, drawing defenders away, assisting, creating chances for others, or finishing. It's a small sample size, right? Because the season's only, 5 games for the regular season and 2 games in Champions Cup. But in those 7 games, I understand the first 2 games weren't great, but I think Suarez has done a phenomenal job. So Haaland doesn't create for anybody else. Haaland finishes. Haaland is the tap-in king because people create so much for him that he's just doing tap-ins. Suarez has been creating for himself and others. So I really question what you're about to answer if you decide to answer, because I'm kind of curious who you think is the MVP then.
I don't think you could have answered it any better than that. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. He's scoring goals, and he's also supplying goals to other players off of his direct assist. It's not a secondary assist.
I believe he might lead the league in assists. I'm going to check that up right now.
Imagine that his impact.
Leads the league in assists so far this year, and he also leads the league in goals. Let me put this up for you guys right quick. See that right there?
Look at that.
Luis Suarez leading the league in goals and assists. He's not the MVP of the team. He is the MVP of the league right now. So, I don't know. I don't see how you could say otherwise.
No, forget it. He's lost in the sauce now at this point.
And then without Drake, we might be letting in 3 of... You know what? Drake didn't have to do too much.
Let's talk about Drake because a lot of people want us to talk about Drake.
But he had an okay game. But did he do anything like for example, the Nashville game where he had that crazy block in his face? That was a great block. Yes. Today, I didn't think he had to do too much. And that's not a knock on Drake. It's just he didn't have to do too much. Surprisingly, okay.
Aria is spitting facts here. He has 11 goal contributions in 7 games.
We've scored, I think it's 20 goals so far this season. 20 goals, I think, combined, and he has 11 contributions in those 20. That's more than half. So, look, I think Campana. I'm sorry. For some reason, I started reading my shirt. I think Suarez absolutely it has shown his quality. For those of you that gave up on him, Battle Herons in Espanol on Sunday night, I apologize. We're working on it, doing more than once a week.
We're not there yet.
Monday night at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We're working on doing it twice a week soon. Just haven't gotten the scheduling down right just quite yet. But it is coming twice a week very soon. But Suarez, for those of you that gave up on him early, man, shame on you. Shame on you for questioning the fact he was MVP of the league last year. The Brazilian league, guys. Like, how could you give up on him so quickly? It's wild. But I'm glad that he's proven everybody wrong.
Before I keep talking about calendar, I just want to mention this: these chats right here.
Before you keep going, anybody in the chat or that's watching this after the fact, if you would like to go ahead and spam Taylor Twillman, because I sent him a message asking him to come on the show, he hasn't responded. But if you want, go ahead and tag him. Don't insult him, because that's not going to work in our favor. Then that won't work. But go ahead, tag him. Tell him to come on the show. I've been messaging. I messaged him once, but I messaged him, telling him to come on the show this week because we have 2 shows this week, and we really don't have any games to talk about outside of Thursday. So I was like, let me try to get a guest on. He hasn't responded. Let's see if we can get him on the show. Let's see. I would love to hear his take on Luis Suarez after the he looks like he's a that it pains him watching Luis Suarez walk around.
He messaged me one time, but then.
Then you ruined
that message. Just disappeared. I mean, I didn't ruin it, but it just disappeared. So
no, you ruined it. I'm not gonna get into the details, but Chris ruined it. We're not gonna get into the details, but Chris ruined it.
I didn't ruin it. Look, and Tarun is mentioning my MVP is Emerson. Jonathan Lacey is saying, honestly, Emerson is MVP by motivating Suarez and Messi to be their best selves, and I completely agree. Because if not, he'd be taking jobs right now.
Yeah, tag him on
Twitter.
Don't
145 him, guys.
All you do is go, hey, at Taylor Tolman, Battered Herons are asking you to come on the show, or join Battered Herons. They want you on the show.
Oh, yes, just guys, spam him.
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my goodness! Now people are saying if he comes, kill with 145. Now, guys,
no, absolutely,
we're not trying to 145 him. We're not going to 145 this guy. I promise. Okay.
All right.
And look, it's like what everybody says. He does look painful when he's walking, but when he's running, he runs. So, you know, and Asif Mahmood is saying big respect for the podcast, taking time away from our families. I'll definitely be getting it in the next. Trust me.
Well, yeah. Shout out to my wife. She's very understanding, you know, because she loves Inter Miami as much as I do, and we enjoy doing this. It's not easy. Doing it as much as we do, and I just started a new job, so it makes it a little more difficult. But you know, we enjoy talking into Miami and having fun with you guys, so we appreciate the support that everybody's been giving us.
Tank is asking, what does 145 mean? Go watch episode one. You didn't watch 145. You didn't watch episode 145.
It's along the line. We have two episodes, I think, that live in infamy. Episode 98. For those of you that know, whenever we say something is bad, it's as bad as episode 98, because episode 98 is the worst show we've ever put together. Absolutely a train wreck of a show. And coincidentally, it landed on my birthday. I didn't realize it until a couple months later. Absolutely horrible show. And then 145, it was another show that happened just recently, actually, 13 episodes or 12 episodes ago. And the chat was being very disrespectful to our guest. So we asked them the next episode to please not do that anymore. But it has gone on a life of its own, and now people call they use that as a verb, right? You're gonna want to get 145.
You're gonna get 145. Well, 145 this guy, you know, right?
because they're completely insulting him and just being very disrespectful.
Oh, Dennis wasn't there for 98. You gotta go back for 90. No, you gotta watch that episode. Dennis, don't go watch it. It's the best episode, I promise.
No, it's not. It's absolutely horrible. Don't even bother. It starts. I don't know how I watched it back not too long ago. We start talking about aliens somehow to start the show. We end the show with Seth Rollins and yelling turf. It was episode 98. It's so horrible. And then 145.
It was the best episode.
And yes, Tank, you watched it. You watched it.
It was the Galaxy Kid. Yes, so you watched it.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
And look, I thought Drake Callender played very well. I think it wasn't so much his fault, the one and only goal that was scored against us. There were a couple blocks. Yeah, there were a couple blocks that he had off of corners. You know, off of the corners, he was pretty active. There was times
I thought that he was coming off of his line to attack the ball very well. Because when you're playing against the headers like Petenke, like you have to attack the ball, and he did. And one of those, I think Benteke got called for a foul because he completely bum rushed Drake going up for the ball. I thought Drake had a good game, like not outstanding. I wouldn't give him the credit for the win, but I did think he had a good game.
And Tank, he's getting better at his distribution. He's getting better. It's not there yet, but he's getting better. So that's what counts. And guys, before you guys head out, remember, listen, appreciate the words. Rukutu, great win, great podcast. Enjoy the weekend. Guys, do not forget to at Taylor Twelman and let him know that he's got to get on with the Battered Herons, because, you know, we want to do a little chit-chat this week, you know?
Not 145. We just want to have a regular conversation.
Not 145. We just want to chill. No. We want to talk, guys. We want to talk. So it was a phenomenal game, man. Yes. It was a phenomenal game.
Go ahead. Yeah, great game.
Yeah, I loved it. It was a good away game. And it's funny because that's one of the games that I told you I wanted to go to, and it would have been a nice one to go to. I think that it was a phenomenal game, and it was enjoyable, 3-1. I mean, everybody loves an away game where we score that way. So,
100%. Do we think we're going to make any more buys after the right back? You know what? I maybe center back if Freire is down for a while, but I can't imagine that too much is going to happen. We have until April 15th, I believe, to make any more acquisitions. And then at that point, we have to wait till the summer. So I would think that we have to wait till the summer. But I think we're just about done. We are 5 games into the regular season. We are top of the table. I still don't think Supporter Shield is an option for us, but maybe they'll surprise me. Maybe by like June or July, we'll be like, you know what? Maybe we do have a chance. We're 5 games in, only one loss. Best start in franchise history by far. We've only lost once in the first 5 games. Through the first 5 games, we have, 10 points? So good job on Inter Miami. Good job on Tata, because Tata never gets any credit. And it's just been great. So I'm going to go. And I do love these 2 o'clock games because I'm about to go take the family to go watch Kung Fu Panda. Going to go take my kids to watch Kung Fu Panda. So that should be fun. So, I do like these 2 o'clock starts because it kind of lets me enjoy the rest of the day afterwards.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, it's nice, you know,
yep.
And it's a Saturday. So,
yeah.
Enjoy the weekend, everybody, guys.
Yeah.
No, that's it. Just good game. Enjoy the weekend, guys. It's going to be fun. We got Tommy One Time coming into town this week, in person. So, we'll probably be seeing if we can make some time to hang out with him. So that's going to be good. Just since we brought up episode 98 and he was a critical part of episode 98. So that's going to be good times. And we'll definitely see you guys on Monday to break down, our future opponent, I guess.
Yeah, on Monday, if Taylor Twitman doesn't join us on Monday, I guess I'll be breaking down Kung Fu Panda. So Tank, tune in for me for my breakdown of Kung Fu Panda on Monday night. We'll figure something out. We always have fun with you guys. So if you guys join us, I'm sure we'll figure out a way to have fun. And Joker, Dune 2, I will be watching that with my wife next weekend for a date night. But this weekend is taking the kids out. So I think that's it. If you are watching on audio, thank you for watching, listening all the way to the end. Please leave us 5 stars, comment, review, all that other good stuff. If you're watching on YouTube, thank you for watching all the way to the end. Please like, subscribe, tell your friends to join us more consistently. And if you are part of the chat, thank you for hanging out with us in the middle of the day on a Saturday. We really appreciate you guys. I hope that this game put everybody in a good mood. I'm in a great mood. And that's about it. And don't forget, hey, at Taylor Tolman. Careful, baby. You're going to.
Mike V already mentioned it. So let's go, baby.
Hey, at Taylor Twillman, right? Because if you start the tweet with at Taylor Twillman, it won't send it out to, you know, it's something weird when you start with an at. So just start, hey, at Taylor Twillman, hook up with the battered hair ons. They're trying to get you on the show. Let's go. That's it. So if not, again, join us on Monday, 9 o'clock. We'll have fun. And Monday night at 10 o'clock for Battered Herons en Español. We're going to have a great time. But until then, until the next one, have a good one.